Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for the work that you've done in our lives. Thank you for guiding this committee that we have had here. Just continue to guide it. Lord, we're not through yet with this process. Just continue to lead, guide it. Prepare that all of us in the congregation here to make a discernment upon this individual and the trial that's coming up, that we make the right decision, Lord. For your honor and glory, guide and direct us now as we study your word, that we may learn more about you and learn more about us so that we can serve you better. In your holy and precious name, Lord, we ask these things. Amen. Okay, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's one thing about it. When I wear a sport coat, there's two things. It's real cold or there's something real important happening. So Bonnie, as she laid out my clothes last night, she said, well, you can get two events at one with one sport coat wearing, and that's going to be cold in the morning. And also, you're going to have to make an announcement for the congregation. I think that's why she wanted to stay home. She's afraid I might get her up there. She said she'd come to the second service. I'm expecting. She's probably sitting with babies right now. We're talking about gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now let me say this. The list that we're going to be getting ready to go through as far as gifts go, the spiritual gifts, this is not an exhaustive list. But one thing I do want you to do, and I want you to concentrate on, as we go through these scriptures and we read about them, and I'm going to give you a definition of these as well, I want you to think about how they apply in your life. This is the reason I'm doing this, because a lot of people have asked me, what is my gift? How do I know what my gift is? Well, if the definition fits something that you do, something that you love, something that you care about in your heart to lift up God and His church, His ecclesia as it is in the Greek, just call that one, then that's your gift. You may not have recognized it before. And it's not uncommon for an individual to have more than one. You can have as many as the Holy Spirit gives you. And it is a gift from Him. Let's read right here, starting in verse 1 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Paul writing, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. If you'll notice in your Bible, the word gifts is in italics. It is not in the Greek text. So it shouldn't even be there. And this word spiritual is not translated correctly. Here's how it should read from the Greek. Now concerning spirituality. Forget the gifts. It should say concerning spirituality. Remember, the Corinthians were a very idol-worshipping group. They were very intimidated by all of the falsehoods of the religious world at that time. They were very worldly people. And Paul had spent all the first part of 1 Corinthians' letter beating them up about these issues. And now he comes to this chapter, as we divide chapter 12, and he said, now I want you to listen to me concerning spirituality. All right? Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He said, now that you've become Christians, you're no longer Gentiles in the flesh like you were. Now I want you to listen to me about the spiritual issues of your life. You know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. He said, you didn't know anything but what you've been taught. All of us growing up, we only knew what we had been taught. Today, once you reach a certain point in your life, then the responsibility falls on you and me to then learn from that point on what is the truth. Nobody's going to get up in front of God and say, well, hey, I didn't know this or I didn't know that because somebody didn't teach me and you're 60 years old. I'm sorry, that's not a good excuse. God expects you, when you reach maturity, to start checking out and seeing what you have been taught. Is it the truth? I did. That's the reason I got out from what I was taught. He said, you were taught these dumb idols. That's okay. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. He said, when you've got the Spirit of God, things change in your life. You won't call Jesus accursed. There's no way in the world. And you'll praise Him because you do have the Spirit in your life now. Now, there are diversities of gifts here, or the Spirit gives gifts to service of men. Christ gives the gift of men to the church. Here he said, there are differences of gifts. That means there are different kinds of them. There's a whole lot of them. But they all come from one Spirit. Remember, these gifts, as they're called, the word is charisma in the Greek, is the word that's actually used. Are used for the glory of God. It's not used for our entertainment or for to build us up whatsoever. We raised $964. Thank you all for your contribution. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now he starts into these different individuality things that God has given to men to serve the church. All right? He said there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities or differences of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. They all come from God. They're administered by the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, the profit is for the church. It's not for the person. Everything that we do as a Christian, and I tell everybody that I witness to, when you make a commitment to Jesus Christ, you have just handed over getting any glory for yourself whatsoever. You're to give it to God. You're to give it to building up the church. That's your task from this point on. It's not for anybody to pat you on the back. It's to raise up Christ. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, I'll give you some detailed breakdown of these in a minute. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Remember, Paul continues to emphasize that all of these gifts come from the Holy Spirit after Christ left. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of languages. That word tongues is a language. To another, the interpretation of these languages. Now, these are all gifts that are given by the Spirit. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing unto every man severally as he will. What this means is this, that God in His sovereignty tells the Spirit who to give what gift to whom. Now you may want a different gift than what you've got. Well, I'm sorry. You're going to get what God wants you to have. I think about a lot of the gifts that God has given to individuals, and I would like to have some of those, but I don't have them. So I have to live with what He has given me and be satisfied with that. But God, again, gives it according to His sovereign will, and it's to be used for His glory and honor. For the body is one, and hath many members. All the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. And we know Christ is the head of the body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, or be bond free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ at that point. See? But when you do that, then at that point in time, you're given some kind of a spiritual gift. God gives it to you to honor and glorify His body of believers. It's not for your particular will that you want. The 1 Corinthians here, the early Corinthian church here in 1 Corinthians, that's what Paul was telling them. God had bestowed all these different diverse gifts upon them, and they were like kids in a toy shop. They were playing with these things. I mean, they were exuberant that they had them. Somebody could heal. Somebody could prophesy. Somebody could speak in a foreign language. Somebody could interpret. And they were getting together in a congregation, and they were playing with these things like somebody dumped out a toy box. Man, they thought this was great. Now remember, they didn't have the written word at this time. So these were fantastic things. I mean, they could heal people. On and on and on. And Paul had to write them a letter saying, listen, these things that you have got are not for you to play with. They're not toys. They are gifts from the Holy Spirit to lift up and edify the body of believers. That's what it's for. So any gifts, now some of them we don't have today. Some of them we still do. Some of them went out when the written word is complete. Let me give you some breakdown of some of these. We went through what an apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, and teacher were last week. But let me give you a definition of some of these that we just read. The gift of service. Now all of these come supernaturally from the Holy Spirit to you. It's the ability to do for others whatever needs to be done. The divine ability to carry another burden for a task without notice or earthly reward. That's service. And we all know people who have that gift. You may have it. Again, analyze your life when I read these things. Exhortation. The ability to motivate members in the body of Christ to do the works of Christ. That's exhortation. You build people up. You exhort them. You encourage them to go on to higher spiritual planes. That's exhortation. Some of you have the ability that people call you. They feel confident in talking to you. And they call you and say, hey, I got a problem. I need some help. Can you direct me? That's exhortation. You exhort them to go on to a higher spiritual level. Giving. I know a lot of you in here have this gift of giving. Giving. The ability to give money or time where and when needed with a cheerful heart. You have resources. You have extra resources of maybe your time, maybe some money, and you give to help others. There's a lot of you in here that do that. I know. I know who you are. And you spend that resources, whether it's money or time, in helping others in the body of Christ to lift them up. Leadership. It says here, the supernatural ability to know when something needs to be accomplished. Who can accomplish it and how it can be accomplished. This is an individual who is given a gift to look at something that's going on, knowing what needs to be done with it, knowing how to do it, and how to get it done. What needs to be done. This is leadership. These are gifts. You know, so many people worry that they don't have the right gift. Let me give you an example. My wife, Bonnie. She is very timid, very shy, and through the years, and I've had to get her over a lot of this, she feels like because she doesn't teach a woman's Sunday school class or she can get up in front of people and speak and all, that maybe she doesn't have any talents or gifts. I said, honey, you rock babies. They love you. That is a gift from God. She has a way with children. I said, if you didn't do that, how many people couldn't come to class or come to church? That is your gift, and that is a gift. So remember that. It doesn't have to be something that's show-offy. Mercy. The supernatural ability to love and care for those who are not able to care for themselves. Sabre just got through taking care of her brother for weeks on end. She gave up, stopped her whole life. And I'm using her as an example, and there's a lot of y'all in here that have done this. But I'm using her as a recent example. She just stopped her whole life, put it on hold, and she stayed with her brother, slept on the couch beside his hospital bed, and took care of him day and night. This is mercy. She has that gift. A lot of you all have. And you know what I'm talking about. Who are not able to care for themselves. Divine knowing of who to help and when to help. And let me say this, how to help. You also have to have the understanding there are some times that you don't need the help in a certain way. And that's when you have to make some prayerful decisions about that. Divine ability to care for those who no one else would care for or could care for. I think of David and Mary in some way. Let me tell you something. You're talking about a gift. Now that couple has a gift. Not everybody could do that. That is a gift from God, what those people have right there, to be able to do what they do. I had a good friend of mine who was in the ministry. He was a pastor of a church. And he quit his church. He took his wife and young daughter down to the Union Rescue Mission. He was going to do that job down there. And I talked to him at length one day at lunch. I said, before you do that, he had a very good job and pastored a small church. I said, before you do that, you need to be sure that you have the gift to do that. I said, I know Carl Reisner very well. And I have been down there many times and spoken to those people and those men down there many times and had them serve meals. But I said, I'm going to tell you something. I don't have that gift. I wouldn't even attempt to do that because it's not my gift. And I said, you better make sure before you do. Well, he did. He lasted about 2 weeks. Utterance of wisdom. The supernatural ability to speak God's words, to speak words for God that a person needs to know immediately, that will put the person on the path that God has for them. Or I would like to add to that an insight into the truth. Somebody calls you on the phone and says, hey, I got an emergency in my life. There's a situation going around. I need some help right now. What can you tell me? What words of God can you give to me right now that will change my life? I don't know how many people I've had call me and tell me, I'm going to commit suicide. Or I got a friend that's going to commit suicide. One Christmas Eve night, I got a call from a young girl dating a boy saying he's ready to commit suicide. And she said, I don't know what to tell him. He's ready right now tonight to commit suicide. I said, bring him over to the house. We'll have Christmas Eve with him. And we did till 2:30 in the morning. So, utterance of wisdom. To know what to tell a person at the right time. To understand the deeper things of God. Utterance of knowledge. Speak the words of God that will show what occurred or why something occurred so the person will know. God does see all things and does care for all people. Somebody has a crisis in their life. Somebody dies. Somebody gets a bad word from the doctor. Tests have been run. They get a bad news and all that. And they call you crying. I need some help. I need to talk to you. This is knowledge of what to say, how to say it, when to say it, and even sometimes what not to say. Okay? You go to funeral homes, one of the toughest things you have to do is to walk up to people and you just really, in a way, don't know what to say. They've lost a loved one. You know, what do you really say? What can you say? You say whatever God puts on your heart, but know what not to say as well. When you go in a hospital room or a funeral home, up to a casket, there was a gift that I do not believe is in operation today. It's called the gift of tongues or languages. The actual word should be languages, glossia in the Greek. It means a known spoken language. Now this gift was given, the Corinthians here had it in their time. In fact, chapter 14 deals basically with that. Sometimes we'll study that. But let me say this. That was a temporary gift before the written word was completed. And now we have the written word. We don't need that. That would be the equivalent of me standing up here and speaking to you in a foreign language, German, Russian, Spanish. I have a hard time with English. The only way I could speak that would be with the gift of the Spirit. And then the interpretation, one of you all, God telling you, and you didn't understand the language I was speaking in, but at that point in time, you could get up and say, well, I know what he said. Now, when we study the 14th chapter of Corinthians, we'll get into that in detail, and I'll show you what that's all about. But that's the gift of languages and the interpretation of languages. Known spoken languages. We don't need it at this time right here, I've heard many people say that, yes, they've heard that it's being done properly and all this. Well, there was a man who's one of the top linguists in the world. He went throughout the North American continent, and he takes 150 incidences of this so-called speaking in tongues. And he's one of the top linguists in the world. And he could not identify one known spoken language out of the 150 that he recorded. Now, some of you may take issue with that. If you do, that's fine. Wait till we study the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I'll show you what that's all about. Okay? Prophecy is the ability to receive a message from God to edify, exhort, and comfort the body of Christ or a believer. It's a supernatural ability to know the heart of God through a dream, vision, or a divine encounter with God would use to manifest Jesus Christ. The word prophecy can have two meanings. It can mean to foretell, as I'm doing right now, foretell the Word of God to tell a group of people, expound upon the Word of God. That has one meaning of that. The other meaning is to tell a future event that has not occurred yet. As the old prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel and those men did in their times. I don't think we have any prophets today. We don't need prophets today because the Word of God is complete. He has told us everything about the future that He wants us to know. You read all the way through the Bible, you get to the end of Revelation, I think God has told us as much about the future as He wants us to know. Has He told us everything? No. But God doesn't tell us everything. He has a reason for that. So, I think prophecy, as far as that goes, as far as foretelling the future, I think that's another gift that has been done away with in our time because we have the complete, written, revealed Word of God. We don't need prophecy. We got all we need. Working of miracles. That's to people who, through God, used to divine power that He worked through them for the healing of people who had medical issues. We all know about the miracles of the Bible. People try to disprove them. They were exactly what they said. They were miracles. God used His power through individuals to accomplish this. Do we have this today? Again, the written word wasn't complete in the time of the miracles. They basically disappeared after 100 A.D. The early church doesn't mention them much after that. What we have today, do you believe in miracles? Yes, I do. God's still in the miracle-working business. And I think that any person or any group has a right to pray for a miracle. We have people in here right now who need a miracle in this class. And I pray for them every day. And if it's God's will to give them a miracle and heal them and restore them back to perfect health. Now, sometimes that happens. We have a lady here right now who had a very rare form of cancer. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but she had a very rare form of cancer, and we all prayed about it, and it disappeared. Now, medically, maybe it was going to. Maybe God did. I don't know, but I'm glad it's gone. And she was healed, as far as I'm concerned. How it happened, I'm just thankful that it happened. Okay? So there is miracles that do happen, but I don't think God empowers a man today as He did in those days to walk up and grab somebody or hit them with a sport coat and make them well. Okay? So I don't think you expect that. The ability to distinguish between spirits. This is very important. And this is still active today. And it is a crucial gift. And to those that have it, need to use it very, very discerningly. It means the ability, you know, Satan in the book of 2 Corinthians, it says, Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Well, today you have to be very discerning. When you hear somebody say something, you analyze it. Is what they're saying coming from God, or is it coming from Satan? Satan is a deceiver. He's a liar. And he is out here misleading people today like he never has been in history. So these people who have an ability to discern between spirits, whether it's the Spirit of God or a spirit of evil, that is a very valuable gift. And they need to use it very cautiously, and they need to use it wisely, and use it to the glory of God. Because there are a lot of people out here who are using Jesus' name, setting up organizations, doing things in His name, who are as false as Satan is alive today. So that's a discerning of spirits. If you have it, thank the Lord. It's a very important gift. Faith. So everybody's got faith. It's a Christian, sure. But let me tell you something. There are levels of faith. There are degrees of faith. Okay? Faith is just not a broad thing that you throw out there and everybody's got the same amount. Everybody has a different level of faith that they have in their life. Some people have far more faith. That's why some people call others and say, I know you're great in your faith. I want you to pray for me. Because they know that these people have a level of faith in there that they really feel they get through to God in their prayers. And there are people who have shallow faith. Now, they're still Christians, but they have a shallow faith. And when something happens in their life, it goes to pieces. So there are degrees, levels of strength of faith in your life. So understand that. How do you get the stronger, higher level degrees of faith? It's by how close you get to the Lord. How much do you study? How much do you pray? How much of the world do you get out of your life, that you take out of your life and fill back in with God and His program and His Word? That's where your faith builds right there. There are times coming in this world, I don't know whether it hit any of us, but there are times coming in this world when it's going to test men's faith for what they really are. And you're going to see, possibly in your lifetime, maybe in this country, how true a faith some people have really got. Any questions? Anybody have any comments? As you go through these things, don't worry about your gift. But if you really want to know what your gift is, look at these things. Go to the book of Romans, and I believe it's the 12th chapter. It lists some gifts. This is not an exhaustive list of gifts. Just like in the Old Testament. Let me give you one quick example. In the Old Testament, God told Moses to build a tabernacle, and the Ark of the Covenant, and all of the furniture. And you know, he told Moses, here's the men I want to do it. I'm going to give them the gift to do it. And then when Solomon got ready to dedicate the temple, God tells him, here's the musicians. I'm going to give them the ability to play and sing. Again, all of this is used for the glory of God. So whatever your gift is that God has given you since you became a Christian, it's to be used for His glory. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for this wonderful study that helped each one of us as Christians to realize that You have given us a gift, and that this gift is not to be done anything with except to glorify You and Your church down here and to bring in Your kingdom, Lord. Help us to understand these things, to use them wisely. And Lord, just be with us the rest of the day, the rest of this week, and that we honor You in all that we do. In Your holy and precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week. Call me if you need me.